Acts chapter 8, let's read. And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women who would put them in prison. Therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a certain man named Simon who was formerly practicing magic in the city, and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem, were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. And humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning from this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And when they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Amen. And so as we talked about yesterday, this is book two, right? And book two is about the three witnesses. And so we're now touching on the second witness. But I want to take one step back and kind of conclude, because yesterday there's so much stuff. I want to conclude with the chapter before. And if you remember, at the end of seven, we see that as they're stoning Stephen, there's a young man that's standing there, and he's holding everyone's coat, you know, and his name is Saul, right? And the Jews thought that once they had gotten rid of Stephen, you know, it's done. But see, that's not how God operates, right? You know, as soon as Stephen is martyred, God immediately starts moving on Saul's life, and basically the mission continues through eventually who will become the Apostle Paul. You know, and this is a really good reminder, which kind of goes into the beginning of chapter 8 when Saul now, you know, is going crazy and he's persecuting the church. You know, I mean, just all kinds of things are happening. And as a result of persecution, guess what? There's a scattering that occurs. You know, and you know, as I'm reading this, I'm reminded of Genesis, you know, when Joseph turns to his brothers and says, well, you meant this for evil, meaning he was sold into slavery, you know, because they were jealous. And you meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. You know, and that verse just continues to ring out through this passage. There is so much in our lives, friends, that the enemy will, you know, design for evil. You know, there are probably things that have gone in our lives that, you know, maybe in some ways we wish it wouldn't have gone on, but there was some redemption in that. You know, there was something that God did that actually turned a negative situation into something actually very positive. You know, in the case of Joseph, right, save all the people of Israel. You know, and you say, well, that has nothing to do with me. Actually, it has a lot to do with you. Because if Joseph doesn't get sold into slavery and moves to Egypt and saves Israel, Jesus doesn't come. And then we don't have a church, right? And I don't know you. You don't know me. You know, we don't know each other. There's nothing here. And so we we see that, you know, what the enemy intends for evil, God turns for good, right? The psalmist, Psalm 119, I think verse 71 or 72, one of those, you know, he says that, you know, it was good that I was afflicted. You know, it was good that I was afflicted. You know, that I may learn, you know, your ways, learn your statutes. You know, and so this is something for us to look at, you know, especially as we look at suffering. You know, suffering is one of those things in the church that, you know, number one, a lot of people don't like to talk about. A lot of pastors don't like to talk about, but I talk about it all the time. You know, but it's something that we really need to get a handle on. You know, suffering is the big question in the world. You know, you hear people all the time, well, why is there suffering if there's a loving God? You know, I mean, I don't want to get into it all here, but there's very good, easy answers, you know, for questions like that. But as believers, you have to understand, right? You know, some things may happen, that may be difficult things, but in Christ, that's not the end of the story, right? Stephen dies, right? He has a glorious return to the Father, you know, and next thing you know, God raises up Saul. You know, and some scholars even say, you know, and we'll get into Saul later on, you know, that the words of, you know, of Stephen really impacted Saul. You know, and, you know, they kind of draw this story. And I buy into it myself. You know, it must have really affected, if you think you're sitting there, right, or you're standing, and to see this person, angelic being, you know, and then he forgives the people that are killing him, and then he speaks with such eloquence. You know, I think it really marks Saul, and we see the beginning of that journey, right? In other words, redemption, that's beginning to focus. And so the disciples are scattered everywhere, right? God turns good things from bad things. Yes, persecution is happening, but the result is the gospel is being spread. In other words, you know, Paul will catch this thing, and he says this phrase, he says, momentary light affliction, right? I love momentary light affliction cannot be compared to the glory, right, that we will walk in. And if you look at life and, you know, in the gaps, you know, there's you know, our life, our vapor, and then there's eternity. And he says, you know, what we suffer, you know, things like, and he's talking about being shipwrecked, you know, being, you know, hungry, being beaten, you know, I mean, twice almost, you know, he's supposed to be dead, right? You know, and just all this hungry and cold and all this stuff. And he calls all that stuff momentary light affliction, right, compared to the glory that awaits. You know, and if you want to get a handle on suffering, you know, and you really want to understand this, you will not understand suffering, right, in the Christian ethos outside of eternity, right? If you don't have a glimpse of eternity, right, suffering will just be suffering, right? But once God releases the lens of eternity, suffering becomes momentary light affliction. Now, that doesn't mean that as you're going through suffering, right, you just forget about it. No, that's not what I'm saying. But when you look at suffering through the light of eternity, right, something else, something so much more glorious comes out of that. And we'll continue to teach on these topics later on. And then, so Philip gets sent, and he gets sent to Samaria, right, to the Samaritans. And as he's preaching, right, I mean, signs and wonders are happening. This should always be, you know, to the believer, a twofold message, right? If you're witnessing to anyone, whatever, it has to be this twofold message. You know, we talk about all the time, right? It has to be proclamation and then demonstration, right? You know, there's got to be a proclaiming, you know, that eventually you say, well, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, but there's also a demonstration aspect. And I want you to pigeonhole this. I'm not just talking about signs and wonders, right? I'm talking about a physical manifestation of Christ in your life, which is your behavior, right? Which is your attitude, which is, you know, your lifestyle. These are all, that's all part of demonstration, you know? And of course, there is the charismata, right? There's the gifts that flow, you know, and that happens as well. You know, but there's something about not just proclaiming it, but also demonstrating it, right? You know, it's something totally different just to talk about it. And you know, that's weak sauce, right? You know, but to not just to say it, but also to demonstrate this life. You know, it's like Jesus Christ can give you life, you know, and then you're living that life that's so attractive. You guys understand what I mean, right? And so if you're ever thinking about witnessing to someone, ever, always remember it's a twofold message. It's proclamation, right? Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, you need to be saved, right? You need to repent, right? It's proclamation is there, but you got to also demonstrate the word. You know, and most of us, we are, you know, in that boat that until I saw that demonstration, right, I didn't give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wanted to see a living, visible evidence that Jesus Christ is real. I'm not talking about miracles. I didn't see very many miracles when I was younger, you know, younger in the faith. You know, but it was meeting people that genuinely lived, you know, a life that was humble and fulfilling and, you know, and full of joy, you know, and all these things. You know, and I met these guys when I was in university, you know. And they're actually my best friends to this day. And things, you know, my groomsmen at my wedding, you know, it was back and forth. I mean, it's just incredible. But I met these guys, and they were cool, you know. I mean, just in the world says what cool is, I mean, whatever that is. But, I mean, these guys were cool, you know. And they were in love with Jesus. And it showed in their life. And they were not hypocrites. Right? And so even though maybe some of us would have, you know, a difficult time understanding that, but we understand because most of us probably came to Christ in that same way. Right? There was proclamation, but someone demonstrated the faith to us. You know, and it made it attractive. And eventually he said, I want what he has. Or I want what she has. You know, and we grew a result of that. And so Philip's in Samaria, signs and wonders, right? Proclamation, demonstration. Right? And then they come through and, you know, just a key passage here. In verse 14 and on, they send from Jerusalem, they send Peter and John, right? They send them there. They received the word of the Lord. They were baptized, but yet Peter and John came to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, right? You know, look at the sequence, right? They were received the word of the Lord, right? Baptized in Jesus' name, but yet still needed to receive Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, right? We talk about the Holy Spirit. You have Holy Spirit, but there seems to be some kind of activation that takes place. They said themselves, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. He had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus meant that you were saved. Obviously, right? It was actually something that happened after. Actually, when they received the word of the Lord, they were saved, okay? And so now they went through water baptism, which was now the public confession of their faith. And yet it's still, they still came to lay hands on them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not talking about subsequent a transaction that occurs or whatnot. You know, but at some point, you know, there has to be an activating or a releasing of Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, right? And so, you know, I'm not going to, because we've talked so much about this before, we're not going to talk so much. And so all that is, they laid hands on them, and they received the Spirit. They were saved, right? I mean, look at the text very carefully. They were saved, but when they laid hands, all of a sudden the Spirit was released in their life, right? There's something about that, you know? There's something about us as people of God to hunger for the Holy Spirit. You know, there's got to be something within us, you know, and I'm not talking about hunger for the gifts, because it's interesting, the next thing you see is Simon who wants to buy this gift, right? You know, so we're not talking about an emphasis on gifts, right? Or an emphasis, you know, on being powerful or those kind of things, right? You know, I've been at church, this is going on our sixth year, right? 6 years, you know? And for a charismatic, you know, which I am, and I'm not one of those closet charismatics, right? I'm straight up charismatic. So if you have any questions, that's who I am, right? You know, and so, but in that, I've not given, you know, any series on spiritual gifts. I mean, that's pretty astounding to me. Even to me, it boggles my mind why I'm not able to do this. You know, but every time I want to do something, God always says, no, just wait. Just wait. You know, and my interpretation of the waiting is simply that, you know, He wants us to be really grounded and focus on the right things before we start focusing on the wrong things. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? You know, I beg God. I said, Lord, you know, I mean, I got good stuff ready to go, right? You know, and so just give me the word, man, and it's done, right? I can do 3 months of this stuff, right? I mean, that pretty much clears out a, you know, whole season of preaching calendar, you know, and stuff. But it's, you know, because see, that's, you know, and I like how Luke throws Simon into the mix here, because he doesn't seem to fit, right? But here's the emphasis, the importance of the Spirit baptism, and then he's got Simon that wants to buy the gift. You know, and we could very easily be swayed away from Jesus and God and the call, running after our gifts, right? You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, and so there's got to be a really holy balance there. You know, we're not saying that we're super spiritual and, you know, this and that. No, we're not saying any of that kind of stuff. But there's got to be a really good balance, right, of the Word, you know, of Christ and our purpose there, and the gifts that help us move along inside of that. And so, you know, that's my two cents. And so Simon is introduced here. We get to the Ethiopian. You know, Philip is on his way. As he's moving on his way, the angel Lord speaks to Philip. And, you know, I actually preached on this last year, so I don't have to go too much in depth. But it's amazing, right? Philip leaves a revival to obey the Lord. You know what I mean? The crazy thing is most people are chasing revival, right? Philip leaves a revival he started, you know? I mean, it was his baby, basically. And I mean, through him, he leaves the revival when the angel Lord speaks to him. Remember yesterday we talked about obedience, right? You know, and so it's important, right, that you obey quickly. He you know, Lord says, go. It's okay, he leaves. He doesn't know where to go to, but he just obeys. And next thing you know, a divine appointment comes, right? You have this Ethiopian eunuch that comes in, and just, I mean, talk about timing. You want to know, you know, the Bible, you know, talks about that no one can come to the Father but the Son draw him, right? We understand this, but we don't really move strategically enough in that way. You know, in your workplace, wherever it's going on, if anyone asks you anything even remotely spiritual, that is an open door, right, that God is doing something. You know, I mean, it may not be so blatant like they're reading the Bible. Oh, Isaiah, you know, I mean, it may be, you never know, right? In your workplace, some dudes, you know, popping up, who knows? But just any, like, I mean, have your antennas up. Any remote spiritual inference, that means God's doing something in their life, right? You know, our whole thing is find out what God's doing and join Him when He's doing, right? God is doing something there. You know, they ask you, you know, like, oh, you know, even you go to church, or, you know, that's an open door. That's not a time to be ashamed and hide, right? That's a time to really engage. I mean, just really just, and I feel like sometimes if we just simply have our antennas up, just to, you know what I mean? And things, and so, you know, for me, how, you know, how I operate in this is a lot of times is, you know, I'll talk to people, I'm a pastor, and they'll always say, well, I used to go to church. That's my open door right there. You know what I mean? Or my uncle's a pastor, right? There it is. You know, and we just build from there. You know, wherever that goes. And there's still a handful of guys I'm still working on there. But it's a process. But just, you know, Philip moves along. He hears the scripture, open door, and he just enters in. Right? And just the last thing apart this, in verse 35, it says, Philip opened his mouth, and then he began, from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. You know? You know how evangelism or even good teaching, you know how all that starts? You open your mouth. Duh. You know? But really, like, I don't know what to say, Pastor Sam. Just open your mouth. Right? I'm not smart enough, you know, to convince someone. Just open your mouth. Right? This is, you know, Luke uses this phrase over and over again, right? He opened his mouth, and all these wonderful words came out. Peter opened his mouth, right? All these guys opened their mouth, and these things. Remember, he says in that moment that Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And you'll be operating not out of your wisdom, but out of the wisdom of God. You know, the psalmist says, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. You know, I mean, it's talking about food, but, you know, we could bring other. You know, I just make sure that I'm doing good exegesis here, right? And stuff. And so, you know, open your mouth. That's all. It just starts. Just open your mouth. You know, don't worry about, I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. I don't know. Hey, man, the Spirit that lives inside of you wrote this thing. Think about that. You know what I mean? I mean, you got the author living inside of you. I think he's going to pull some stuff out. You know, and you know, honestly, even as a pastor, man, you know, there's sometimes that I'll be speaking to people and things, and I just open my mouth, and just the most wonderful things come out. It is amazing. You know, what's so funny? I'm being serious, man. You know, and even, you know, like, you know, even in counseling situations, right? I don't know, you know, honestly, I'm just like, my initial thing is, well, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, that's what I want to say. Like, is that it? But sure enough, I open my mouth and I suppress my own thoughts, and the Holy Spirit, just the most wonderful things come out. You know, and trust me, when you leave the room, I'm sitting in the room going, whoa, man, I should have recorded that thing, man. You know, I'm going to forget all this stuff. I should write it down as fast as I could, but of course I forget. Right? So let's close our eyes and hope that we're really inspired by Philip. Proclamation, demonstration. And when those divine moments come, just open your mouth. I just love that, man. It just takes off all the pressure. Right? Just open your mouth. Share your life. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let him have his hands upon us. Let's just spend some time. Let's pray. Whatever the Lord's ministering to you through this chapter today, and let's just respond to the Lord in prayer. Any group or any committee or whatnot, and you're ministering in your house church, you know, but it's also your ministry at work or in your family. You know, this is something that God has given for you to do, right? And whatever that is, let's just really go before the Lord, you know, and just really ask Him to just really bless that ministry, you know, to really conform that we would maximize in our ministry. And let's just pray for your ministry today. Let's go to our SP men's focus, or our SP focus. Let's pray for our men's ministry. Let's pray that there'd be a real strong sense of brotherhood, a real incredible fellowship would happen. Let's pray for support and for each one. Pray for real love to flow. Let's pray that the men of our church would be different than the men in this world. Let's pray that there would be a marked difference between our brothers in our church than those knuckleheads that are out in the world. A real difference. So let's really pray for that. Let's pray for James. Who else is in this? Are you Sandra? Are you one of those? Right. Let's just pray for James and other leaders that we don't even know who they are yet. You know, but let's really pray. Oh, Jean-Marc, I know Jean-Marc's one. Let's pray for James, Jean-Marc. Let's really ask the Lord to really bless our leaders and just really lead men's ministry into the presence of God this year. Let's pray for men's ministry. Go house church. Let's pray for Robinson Road House Church. Let's pray for Sandro and Lingyan and ask the Lord to continue to bless them and use them powerfully. Let's pray for all the members of Robinson Road House Church and the ministry and community, and there'll be just a lot of grace and favor over this house church. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the leaders. So remember prayer focus, let's pray for Annie. Let's pray that she'd be able to spend more quality time with the Lord and put Him first in everything. Pray that she'd be a praying wife and an excellent wife to Sam, to Pastor Sam. Pray for God's wisdom and discernment when disciplining and teaching Micah, that he will grow in the knowledge of Jesus and be saved. Pray for God's favor and strength, giving birth to the baby girl in late Feb, and that she will be a healthy baby. Pray for Micah to be a loving brother to his sister and to adjust and transition well into having a sibling. So let's cover Annie right now. Let's pray for our sister Sue. Let's pray that the Lord would save her husband and his parents. Pray that that her sister would be let out of a difficult work and relationship situation in the place where he wants her to be. Pray for health of her parents, that they will still bear fruit in old age and they will stay fresh and green. So let's cover Sue and her life. Let's pray for our sister Bernice. Let's pray that she be more aware of God's work around her, to be able to find him and to hear him at all times through the noise of a city life, and in order to have the strength and wisdom needed for this journey. As Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Let's really pray that the Father will draw her immediate family and guide her to fulfill her role in their lives as they experience God for themselves like she has. And let's also pray for a family in the future. Let's just cover Bernice. Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for getting us up. Thank you for coming to your house, God, to pray, to seek your face, Lord. And God, we just our heart's desire, God, is to be a witness, God, before you. Our heart's desire, God, is to be a light, to be an example, Lord, to so many people around us, God. So would you give us the strength, God? Would you release anointing in our life? Would you fill us with the Holy Spirit? And we thank you, Father God. Lord, touch us today, God, that we may touch the world, Lord. We bind our will to your will this day. Have your way with us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.